this is TFG1 Mike, and I am recording this because what you're about to hear next is a special All Things Transformers San Diego Comic-Con discussion. Myself, Professor Boss K Dog, Kevin Thompson, also known as Optimus Solo, my co-host from Tooncast, and my three other co-hosts from Transformers Toycast, Optimus Scourge, Big Bad Boombox, and the Goddamn Proto Man, discuss some of the SDCC items that have been revealed so far for Transformers. So that's up next. Please enjoy. Hello and welcome to this is going to be a general Transformers chat, not sure which Geekcast Radio Network podcast that it's going to be going under, but seeing as how Comic-Con and all the Transformers websites and all the other websites have posted a lot of news, a lot of us are having trouble opening up the pages, so I'm going to play this because of that.
Open! Damn it! Open!
I am TFG1 Mike, and I am joined today with Optimus Scourge. Say hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Let's see. Kevin, Optimus Solo Thompson, hello.
Hello, what's going on, guys?
Big Bad Boombox, hello.
Hey, what's going on?
And last but certainly not least, the goddamn Proto Man.
I guess I'm not the chosen one, because I can't even open the website either.
Ultra.
So this is just going to be a basic overall discussion of some of the Comic-Con stuff that's going on. We're going to hit on the Revenge of the Fallen Prophets versus probably every other movie that's going to come out this year in 2009. I guess we'll start with the Comic-Con stuff first. Have any of you guys actually ever been to Comic-Con?
No.
No.
No. No.
Wow.
Oh my God. But I have toys.
Proto Man hasn't been to Comic-Con? That's a shock.
That surprises me.
I've
been to too many BotCons. I can't afford to go to Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's the problem because, like, throughout the year I go to Anime North, which is the biggest anime convention in North America. I run TFCon with all my buddies. I go to BotCon as much as I can possible. I go to the Fan Expo, which is the largest. It's like the San Diego Comic-Con of Canada, and that's coming up I think in less than a month from now. I go to lots of conventions. I do a lot of traveling. But it's like I never found the time to do San Diego Comic-Con. I will one day go. It's just so far I haven't found the time to schedule it in.
I've seen it a lot. You know, obviously G4 does their annual TV coverage of it. It looks cool, but it's to me, compared to seeing BotCon footage, it's like 50 times larger than BotCon. Of course, it's everything in the entertainment industry as far as comics, movies, you know, games, TV shows, stuff like that. So, I really have no experience myself going to one. I don't even know if I would want to go to one if I actually got the chance to do it.
Well, from what I was told from people who go there, there's pretty much two kinds of people that go. They go there pretty much to have a good time and shop around and just learn about all the new stuff that's going to be coming out. And then there's the people that go there for the merch. And if you go there for the merch, you spend all the days at San Diego Comic-Con standing in lines for the merch. It's like after you're done standing in line for 3 hours to get this Transformer exclusive, you then go into another 3-hour line for the G.I. Joe exclusives, to go into another 3-hour line for this DVD exclusive, for another 3-hour line. So it's a lot of lines. It's a lot of...
There's a third type of person too that goes there. You get the amateur or the rookie artist going to try to kind of break in and make a name for themselves, sell some of their comic work or their artwork. So you get that group too.
Well, let's not forget the cost.
Yeah, which everyone that's important in the industry is definitely there.
Oh yeah.
Right.
And let's not forget all the people that dress up in costumes that don't take them off for 4 days and end up smelling like crap.
Yeah. We like to call them attention.
Yeah, exactly. I guess the biggest thing for me for Comic-Con, unless Hasbro's going to announce the yet-to-be-released animated figures, obviously Shout Factory's selling the G1 set, the complete series Matrix set there, with autographed lithographs by Frank Welker. That would be so awesome to get that.
Is that what the lithograph is? Is that been confirmed?
The lithograph is, I don't know what it's of, but I know for a fact that it's they're being signed by Frank Welker.
Okay. Oh my God, it's mine, no matter the cost.
So, what do you guys want to talk about that you've seen from the TFW pages or the other Transformers news pages as far as figures or just stuff in general from Comic-Con as far as it pertains to Transformers?
Who do you want to go first?
I don't know. I guess we...
All right, I guess I'll take that honor of going first. I'll touch on the Human Alliance figures we've seen. We've seen these figures before, but a nice little display of at Comic-Con of the new figures of Human Alliance Sideswipe with Tech Sergeant Epps. He looks awesome. Sergeant Epps looks good. I can't really see too much detail on that pick, but I'm not expecting much. I mean, it's like that's a throw-in for me that you get a figure at all. I mean, the figure itself, if it's anything like Bumblebee, which I'm sure it is, looks great in the pics. I mean, you know, it just looks awesome. I mean, I love the Sideswipe regular deluxe, so I can only imagine, you know, I mean, if you look at the pictures from TFW, from Comic-Con, I mean, obviously the box picture, you can't see the car that well, but we've seen the car. The robot mold looks amazing. The head sculpt looks really menacing, and I really like how they did the swords. They're silver, and they're, like, dual-tipped. Really like how that came out. The aesthetic came out well. And my only question would be, he's posed up against a cube. I hope he doesn't suffer that problem of where you have to tilt his feet back and he can't balance. So that's my only issue with him, although I would hope they would have solved that. But he does look like he has those same mech gears in his legs to his torso area. The other Human Alliance figure that was shown at Comic-Con in the booth was Human Alliance Skids, which comes with Michaela and the RC. The RC is like a really small figure that's kind of like a throw-in for it, which is good because as we see her ride in both in the movie. And I think Skids with RC and Michaela Baines looks really good. Those are kind of ones that stood out to me. I'm really a sucker for these Human Alliance figures. I actually bought a second to keep in alt mode with my alternator collection and stuff like that and did the hand swap. I think they're great for collectors who don't necessarily love the movie line, but, you know, they're a little bit more blocky, stuff like that. So those are kind of my picks.
Yeah, I saw the Soundwave exclusive. And, of course, we all know that Soundwave has been reissued so many times. I actually had a G1 Soundwave, keyword there being had. Can anybody, whoever wants to, maybe Protoman can, explain to me why I would want the SDCC version?
Well, I guess the only explanation I can think of is it's the mold that they're using with that one is the Sound Blaster mold, and for those who aren't familiar with that, it's... The button, the individual buttons on the Soundwave cassette mode are one molded piece as opposed to individual molded piece like the original G1 Soundwave. And the cassette door now could hold two instead of just one cassette, so it protrudes a bit more outward. If you don't like that sleek aesthetic to it.
What makes this one different from the TRU?
It's a single chest.
No, you could fit two in though. You could fit two in the Toys R Us one.
It's two in this one, and the Toys R Us one was also two. The only difference from the one that was released from True back in the day is absolutely nothing different. The only thing is that this one comes in a sleeker box, and you get more cassettes this time around. Now,
I swear to God, I saw a picture of him with a single chest in that box. Okay, I didn't know that.
It's a possibility. Maybe I haven't seen photos, but from what I know, the mold that Hasbro has had their hands on all this time has been the dual cassette chest one. And even when Takara did their reissue, they went with the dual cassette chest one also.
See, I thought I heard a rumor back when this was first announced that at first it was the dual, and then they switched it to the single.
It's possible, too.
I know the true one is a double.
Yeah. You find anything over there, Shane?
If you go to Cybertron.com, they have a gallery from BotCon, and it will show you a single-chested Soundwave. Now, whether or not that's what's actually at the Comic-Con is speculation, because we don't have pictures of that from Comic-Con yet, although I'm sure they're to pop up in the sub-forums.
Well, like I said, the best way to tell, if there's any pictures of it on the website, the best way to tell is you don't even have to look at the chest. Look at the buttons under the chest. If it's all one single piece that are attached together by its silver or gray plastic, then it's the double, fatter chest version. If it's singular buttons, like each button is spaced out and has its own like plastic molding, then it's the original flat chest Soundwave that holds only one cassette.
I'm thinking it's the flat chest Soundwave. I pulled up a picture. It looks like they're going with a no rub symbol, traditional, just straight sticker, single play fast forward and stop button.
Yeah, so then it's that one.
So yeah, which I think is awesome. I think that's awesome.
It comes with a whole bunch of cassettes in a nice fancy box. So if you want to buy it based on that, I mean, me personally, first of all, if you're someone who hasn't bought a Soundwave up to this point, then that's great. I bought the G1 Soundwave many years ago, complete with everyone, and then if you were someone who didn't get it then, there were so many opportunities in the past to then pick him up. He was Encore reissued. He was Takara Book Box reissued. He was even reissued in America. So here's yet another opportunity to pick it up if you haven't. And you get all the cassettes in one shot, more or less, minus Overkill, Slugfest, and the rare Headmaster cassettes.
So what? Hey, you get every cassette that was released originally? Rat Bat, Big Buzz?
No. You get pretty much every cassette that was relevant to Soundwave, with the exception of Overkill and Slugfest, which were the two Dino cassettes, if you remember those.
Oh, I have.
So has Laserbeak and Buzzsaw?
Laserbeak and Buzzsaw, Rat Bat, Rumble Frenzy, and Ravage. Yep. So again, awesome. the ones of relevance. I mean, Slugfest and Overkill were in the cartoon, but again, one episode, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious if the new the Classics 2.0 Ravage will fit in that, if they're using
the
original mold.
Yes, he does, actually.
Yes, he does.
Because I have a hard time. I tried fitting him in my G1 Soundwave, and I just couldn't get him to fit right.
Really? Now you're tempting me to figure that one out, because I've never tried it myself. I just took Hasbro's word for
it. There's several versions of the G1 Soundwave. There's the one you're talking about with the buttons, and then there's the other one, and then there's something about a split thigh or something like that on one of them. There was two different molds they used for the G1 Soundwave.
I don't know too much more,
but there's definitely variations of it. Because you had the Cassette Man mold, and then you had the Hasbro mold, in which they were almost identical, but...
Yeah, well, you had the Cassette Man mold, you had the first run of the Hasbro mold without the rub symbol, then you had the actual rub symbol mold, then moving down the line, you had the Sound Blaster mold from Japan, which was the black Soundwave repaint. If you move more down the line from that, then you get the reissue Soundwave, the Sound Blaster reissue Soundwave. It's just a lot of the mold being reused over and over and over. And what one possibility is mold degradation. It's a case with a lot of the mini-cons today, is that a lot of the mini-cons, because they've been repainted and remolded so many times, that the molds are actually destroyed and degraded. What's possible is that the Soundwave mold, maybe throughout the years of being remolded over and over, it degraded, and maybe the cassette cavity got larger and larger. That's a guess. So maybe the Ravage, when Hasbro said at BotCon that the Ravage fits in Soundwave's chest, maybe they meant that the Toys R Us Soundwave were... You know, a later release.
Yeah, I know it definitely fits the Toys R Us one. My other one's Mitten Box.
It is minuscule, the amount of space that it's missing by. It's less than a millimeter. So.
Do you have Sound Blaster or the Toys R Us reissue?
I held off on it for this. I was going to get it a couple of months ago, but now I've been holding off for the SDCC.
If I would take a gander at this one, it's going to be a duplicate of the Takara book style, which was the single chest.
That's my guess too. I think they're barking up that.
They're not going to make anything new.
Yeah. I think it's exactly that. You know, and also recently, and Takara also recently did some box sets of just the cassettes, too.
Oh, did...
That's right. Frenzy and so, Rumble and, no, it well, was with the, it was the well, Blasters cassettes, right?
Blasters cassettes, and they did a box set of Soundwave's cassettes also. So what this is pretty much, it's more or less just kind of bunching that all together and releasing it in America as an exclusive. That's why I'm not too excited about it, because unless you're someone that really missed out all those other opportunities on picking up this stuff in the past, I mean, hey, that's great, but it's a really expensive opportunity now. I mean, God knows how much this thing's going to go for on eBay, unless you can pick it up from Comic-Con directly.
I actually have a friend on Twitter who's going to try and get that for me. I want it more or less for the box and
yeah,
the display value of it. It's gorgeous. I mean, just with the cassettes, like Ravage running, Rat Bat flying in the huge window box, it's gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous-looking box. I will agree with that.
I don't need the toy. I have all the toys.
To me, that's the only selling value, is that it comes in a beautiful display box of a whole bunch of stuff that I technically already own. So.
Although I will add to that, that said, I wouldn't go out of my way to get it on eBay. But if you don't have Soundwave and you can pick it up for $65 or so on eBay or whatever it goes for, definitely worth it. I mean, especially with all the cassettes you get. I mean, definitely worth it.
I'm crossing my fingers for Monday morning. Because if it's anything like last year, we're going to end up with a bunch of SDCC exclusives over on HDS.
It's a possibility. But then again, the thing that I want you to consider is we just came fresh off of that movie, and Soundwave was in that movie. We're going to get a whole bunch of what I refer to as level one fans who are just like, yo, remember that tape guy? Yo, I so loved him as a kid. Yo, I'm going to buy his toy. I think we're going to get a lot of that at Comic-Con. And, you know, you have to realize something. People will argue about this. The Shattered Glass BotCon set was hardly the best BotCon set ever released. But you know what?
It's the only one I ever sold.
That sold out. You want to know why? Because it came fresh off of the movie. You know, so you got a lot of people that were coming fresh off the movie that just wanted to have a piece of that Transformer titty, you know? And that's kind of what this is. That's kind of what this is. I would not be surprised if someone told me that the Mighty Mug of Optimus Prime sells out at San Diego Comic-Con. Just solely based on the fact that, you know, a whole bunch of people show up and go, oh, Transformers, oh, I love that movie, buys it, you know?
Yeah, an impulse buy, definitely. A lot of this stuff would be impulse buys for a lot of people who are just nostalgic.
Soundwave, who's a very high-tier character, and considering how, even for us, this is considered a very good deal, yeah, I wouldn't get your hopes up on this showing up on a Hasbro toy shop afterwards. This isn't a Nemesis Prime situation.
See you guys on eBay Monday morning.
Yeah.
What, do you have trouble with HCS? I can hook you up. I'll be home.
It'll all depend. I've got my phone with me, so I should still be good to go.
Oh, okay.
Actually, kind of think of it. I'm just reading.
Why don't you post on the boards? Anyone going to Comic-Con want to hook me up with a Soundwave? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do that.
Are there any other...
You know, you'd be surprised. I mean, there's a lot of people like me who will hook you up for cosplay shipping. I mean,
that's sweet.
Did we have any other Comic-Con stuff as far as Transformers that we want to talk about?
I had a couple that caught my eye when I was glancing through there. The first one would have been the Mixmaster Re-Deco. I thought that one looks pretty sweet. Got the nice silver mixer part, looking real shiny on the picture. It doesn't obviously have any pictures of it in robot mode per se, but it gives a good side view and a sort of a front view on another picture. But I think that looks pretty darn sweet.
Yeah.
And completely unshocking that it was going to happen, of course. We all knew it was going to happen. It's just I'm actually a little shocked that it happened on an individual Transformable instead of the actual complete Devastator box set.
At least yet, not yet.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time.
Yep.
That does look good. You know what? That could also, you know, looking at that color scheme, You can almost double that up for a alt mode on for like an animated shelf too, if you were, you know, because we didn't get an animated mixed master or scrapper.
That is true. A lot of people I know, they're saying just take your Revenge of the Fallen Dirt Boss and use that as Dirt Boss.
I am doing the same thing right now.
Exactly. Oh, no. I wouldn't say that.
Professor Prince.
Yeah, there's a lot worse. I wouldn't say Dirt Boss.
And animated.
Yeah. Professor Princess was the best thing to happen. The other
redeco that caught my eye, even though I wish I could see some more pictures of it, is the Insecticon set. And from reading the back of it, it's saying that it's the trio, so it's, you know.
Didn't they name the those, though? Because they lost the name. Didn't Hasbro lose the name of Bombshell?
Well, Bombshell's now called Hard Shell. Shrapnel they lost many years ago, and so they also lost Kickback. So it'll be really interesting to see what they call them this time.
I think Chris bought that rights to that.
So all I know for sure is that definitely they have the name Insecticon still registered. They renewed it in Energon in 2002, so they still have it fresh for another 4 years at least.
And on the back there, it does say that it's identical to the original toys, basically. Just wish there was a picture of them. Instead of just the box art.
That's another scenario where Takara gave us two opportunities to own that already. There was a Insecticon 3-pack set of reissues done in the book box style. Then they did a variant color e-hobby edition shortly after that, which was done like in red and green highlights and stuff like that. It was a very weird one. And I think they came with Energon cubes, if I remember correctly.
See, I missed out on all those, so I'd be very interested in this set, because I missed out on those other ones.
Yeah, me too. I've only got G1 Kickback, so I'd love to be able to finish off the set.
And those are fun little guys, let me tell you, for what they are. You know, they're not marvels of engineering, but they're little pieces of TF history, and they're very cute, so...
I wonder how they'll hold up overall, because I know that, with the Kickback that I have, just because of the die-cast, you know, there is some definite joint wear from years and years.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I have all three of them from G1, and actually those out of the ones that I have from G1 have held up pretty well. I don't know if it's just because I didn't play with them as much as I did with the other ones, but they're still sitting on the shelf pretty good.
Yeah, they're just sitting on the shelf, too, staring back at me.
Everything is staring back at you.
I know.
How do you sleep?
Tell that to my girlfriends.
They get
creeped out.
Friends?
Yeah, I was going to say, wait, you just put a plural on that.
Well, all of them in the past, they got kind of freaked out by it.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Well, you know, when you have a whole bunch of people tend to get freaked out.
Oh, yeah.
It could be worse. It could be a whole bunch of owls.
I remember one friend once told me, is like, imagine if the movie Toy Story was real.
I'd go more indie in the cupboard on that, man. You want to go old school. Actually, do any of you guys remember that when they did the movie? They showed Darth Vader versus the dinosaur. I was sitting there going, where's Optimus Prime? You know, because you know that kid. If he's rocking Transformers and Star Wars and dinosaurs, this has got to be a Transformer somewhere in that room.
Heck yeah!
Grimlock just comes in, rips off Vader's head. That'd be awesome.
Wait, did he really rip off Vader's head? I wonder what he would say afterwards. do we have any other things from on?
I guess I was just going to touch up quickly. Well, they also showed, they're probably showing up in stores either now or really soon, because I know there has been some sightings of it, which are they did repaints of the Titanium 3-inchers, where we kind of thought we heard the last of Titaniums, like that was the end of it. But there's one last hurrah for them, and they took the previous movie Titaniums that we got from 2 years ago, and they repainted them as... I guess the only thing that's kind of interesting to me about these repaints is that they based all these repaints off of previously existing repaint molds. So, like, you have one set that has Rescue Ratchet, So they based it off of the Fast Action Battler ratchet toy and the Voyager that was done in the G1-esque colors. They have a titanium of Off-Road Ironhide, which again was a nod to the Fast Action Battler and the Voyager toy that was a repaint. They did a 3-inch titanium of Desert Deep Desert Brawl, which is again a repaint of the Leader class toy, and I believe we got a desert version in Revenge of the Fallen. It came out in Wave 3 with Ravage. It was a deluxe. The only one that's interesting, really, and we got a Cliffjumper one. That, again, was a nod to the Robot Hero that came with the Best Buy DVD and the deluxe figure. But the only one that's interesting is that there's a 3-inch titanium of Dead End. Now, Dead End, obviously, he got two toys already in the Revenge of the Fallen line, and they're two separate, completely different molds and two different characters, at least to our knowledge. But yet they went with the Jazz titanium mold for this character, which is interesting because I thought they would have went with maybe G1 Jazz, or even they could have done Smokescreen, which seems to be the new Jazz repaint thing, where you take you know, because there's a Fast Action Battler, one of that. I don't know. That's all I wanted to talk about. Just, it's interesting to see that the Titaniums are coming back one last time.
Yes, very much so. Actually, Titanium Galvatron is still sitting on my little monk stand here, staring at me with his gun pointing at me. Okay.
It's about the only Titanium is about the only figure I've ever wanted to take back to the store and get my money back from.
Yep.
I bought him money.
That's okay. A lot of people did.
Yeah,
but I got the Megatron, and you couldn't stand him up. So
that Unleashed, I heard. Everyone was not happy with Unleashed.
All right, so we're gonna move on to a topic idea I had because it's not really because other podcasts have already talked about it. It's because I'm so sick of all the Harry Potter fans going all gaga over the sixth movie, and I have never been one to get into. I'm sorry, it's just not something I can get into. So the topic is Revenge of the Fallen versus everything else. And we're also going to talk about the Prophets, and for that I will switch it to Proto.
Well, the movie is, for lack of better words, kicking a lot of ass. I mean, the numbers are absolutely insane this time around. I remember when the 2007 movie came out, how much I was bragging about how well it was doing. Because, first of all, when the 2007 movie came out, I figured it was going to do well, but I didn't think it would do $700 million well. And when it did, and I started looking at the numbers and seeing, just to go back to the first movie, the original 2007 movie is number 31 in greatest-selling movie of all time in the world, number 31. And I believe domestically, I'm just going to check that right now just to double check. And domestically, meaning in North America, Canada, and Mexico, it's number 21 in greatest selling movie of all time. So, and you know, and just to give you an idea, like above Transformers is The Lion King and Forrest Gump, you know, just to give you an idea of, and then it's Jurassic Park and, you know, Star Wars and the first Spider-Man movie and E.T. and, of course, Titanic sits there on the top. But we can't argue with Titanic. I mean,
no,
yeah,
wait.
It's Titanic.
Didn't the Dark almost nothing, overtake Titanic?
You know what? The Dark Knight is number two, and it's a very strong and proud number two, but it's not even close to Titanic in numbers. You have to realize something. Titanic, just in Japan alone, okay, made enough money to sell tickets for Lion King's numbers. Like, when it came out in Japan, it blew everything out of the sky. And I have to remind everyone who's listening, in Japan, going to the movies is a completely different experience than it is for us people in America and Canada and the UK or whatever. See, because when we go to see a movie, it's usually between $8 and $14. You go into the theater, you sit down, you watch the movie, you leave, that's it. In Japan, it's kind of like going to the theater, but in like a live-action theater kind of sense. A ticket is the equivalency of $30, okay? To start with that. Yeah. Now, but the interesting is, before you go into the theater, you're given a program about the movie that you're about to see. And it's a full page, probably like between let's say, 5 and 8 pages of full color talking about each character that's going to be in this movie and who the actor is and what he did prior. And they do this for every movie, not just Transformers. Every movie you go to see in Japan, they do this. They have like a little program that says, oh, you're seeing Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Shia LaBeouf, who formerly was in the movie Holes and blah, blah, blah. You know, like they'll do like a whole thing and they'll talk about his character. And they do this for every movie. So going to the movies in Japan is a bigger experience. And as a result, it commands a larger ticket price. But at the same time, it brings in a lot more money the final sales. Going back to that, though, now the original movie made $708 million, and it's, you know, it's sat pretty high. And a lot of us thought, well, you know what? Even me, I thought that the second movie, while it'll probably also do well, I didn't think it would beat the first movie because the first movie had kind of that fresh feeling. A lot of people wanted to see that movie just to be able to see what Transformers on the big screen would be like. And then I thought, you know what? I thought the second movie, half of those people wouldn't come back the second time because it's old and it's said and done. But I was wrong. And I was horribly wrong. And what Revenge of the Fallen did was it blew Transformers 1's records out of the floor. To give you an idea, Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen, right now holds the number one records for the following things. The top movie to come out in the past 365 days, meaning it did better than every other movie so far in the past year. It's so far number one, the top movie of 2009 this year. It has the top opening of 2009 this year. It has the top numbers of a PG-13 movie. It has the top numbers of a worldwide movie that came out in 2009 this year. It has the top numbers for a movie to open on a Friday, because it opened Friday in some locations and other places Wednesday. It has obviously the top opening numbers for every Wednesday. It has the top non-opening numbers for a Friday, Thursday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So every other day, it kicked butt. So when another movie was coming out on a Tuesday, Revenge of the Fallen beat it, like Ice Age. Ice Age came out, and Revenge of the Fallen beat its numbers when it wasn't even an opening. It did the top numbers for a single Wednesday, just a random Wednesday. It did the top numbers for all of June. It's just a whole bunch of first places that just keep going and going and going that the original movie did not achieve. And ultimately, in the end, it ended up beating the original movie in final sales. Right now, the Revenge of the Fallen movie sits at $769 million. And to give you an idea where that sits, that means that right now Revenge of the Fallen is the 27th best-selling movie of all time. And the movie that is sitting above it right now is the original Star Wars movie. And it's only behind the original Star Wars movie by $5 million, which could be done in like 2 days.
You're talking about worldwide.
Yes, worldwide.
You're talking about
worldwide.
Because domestic, it's a lot. In domestic, it's not going to catch Star Wars.
Domestically,
it's almost 100 million.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Domestically, let me see. Revenge of the Fallen, yeah, 13. See, here's the thing. Yeah, domestically, Star Wars is number 3.
Yeah, and it's almost
Titanic,
100 million over.
Yeah, so it's quite a trip for Transformers to catch up to it there. But the thing is that, again, to break it down, if you look at Revenge of the Fallen's foreign ticket sales, like it seems that the countries that really enjoyed the movie more than anyone else, not counting obviously us, South Korea loved the hell out of that movie. $34 million came from South Korea alone. And then here's a really interesting one. The kings of all the bootlegs, China and Hong Kong, they contributed a huge chunk of money. China contributed $33 million, and Hong Kong contributed another $17 million. You know, and those are two countries that are notorious for bootlegging. So the fact that anyone showed up to the theater is quite impressive. What I find weird, though, is that Japan, which I would think the land of the rising robots, you know, where Transformers would probably sell the best, it only did $20 million. You know? The UK, it did $38 million. It's just everywhere. It sold amazing. The only other number that I'm going to mention, though, that's interesting, is that Transformers actually is the best-selling movie of all time, though, in one country, and that's China. It actually beat Titanic in China.
Wow. Wow.
So in and China, Transformers is the best-selling movie of all time.
And domestically, Revenge of the Fallen is going to be in the top 10 domestically all time. If you project it out and you look at the weekend by weekend how much it's done, it's easily going to get 20 million more. And
yeah, it's going to pass Passion of the Christ and Spider-Man 2, which are the ones
that
are
sitting. And Lord of the Rings.
And Lord of the Rings, probably in the next little while.
Right, it's going to come real close to butting up against Star Wars episode, you know, Revenge of the Sith. I don't know if it'll pass it or not. I would say that it's going to pass it, but I don't know if it's going to get to Spider-Man.
Well, I actually went to see the movie yet another time for the fifth time 2 days ago, just for the hell of it. A friend of mine wanted to go see it, and we went to one of our casual, kind of crappier theaters to see it for like $5 on a Monday, you know. And we went to see it, and this was 2 days ago. And let me tell you something. There was still a good amount of people in that theater. I thought we were going to be alone. So people are still going to see it. And I figured, let's see now. There was about 30 people in that theater, and that was at $5 a pop. You know, there's still some money coming in. And that's
the numbers, though, I was big on – when the first one came out, I was big on looking at the – because I wanted it to get as high as possible on the charts, and I kept checking weekend after weekend. The difference between the first one and this one is the first one had a more extended time where it was still getting big numbers, but this one had bigger numbers up front. Because if you look at the weekends in this one, you had the first weekend, Friday and Saturday, 36 million and 40 million, and – then you had the next weekend, it dropped down to 17 and 10.
Yeah, the
next
drop
one down
was harder.
Yeah, the next one down to 7 and 9, and then by the fourth weekend, it was down to 4 and 5. The other one had a longer span where it stayed a little bit higher than that, but this one had such a big number at the beginning, that's what's given it that life, but it's actually dropped a little bit faster than the first one did.
What I think this is more attributed to, and why, while it beat the original movie, why it made such big drops, was when the movie originally came out, whoever wanted to see this saw it on its opening day, granted. But I think afterwards, all the negative reviews kind of pushed off people from seeing it initially afterwards. But considering that almost every critic didn't like this movie. But then I think the week that probably followed after that, everyone was like, look, the critics are wrong. This movie is not bad. And then obviously people started showing up again. So, and then again, and then again, and then again, and then again.
I think it easily is going to bring in at least 20 more million, which will put it at number 9 domestic. I just don't know if it'll hit that 400 mark, because that would take about 32.5 million more.
Not to mention that. That's the other thing I forgot to mention. And one other title that it has, it's that it's the worst-rated movie of all time to reach those numbers.
just think of the top 10, though. If you look at us nerds or whatever you want to call them, you look at the top 10 domestic, you're going to have Dark Knight, you're going to have 3 Star Wars, a Spider-Man, and a Transformers in the top 10.
And on that note, we are going to go to break. We will be right back.
Crunchies! From across the galaxy to battle the evil Decepticons comes the ultimate Autobot hero, Optimus Prime. Transforming from big rig into powerful robot, he's the greatest Autobot warrior of them all. With a hidden battle platform, twin rocket launchers for double the damage, and a light and sound power pack for real battle action. And when Optimus talks,
I am Optimus Prime,
the Decepticons will run for cover.
Transformers!
Transformers Generation 2. Optimus Prime is all you see here.
One. All right, we are back from break. We are still doing the Comic-Con discussion here on All Things Transformers. What's up next, guys? Who wants to talk about more?
Stuff? I think the boombox like to take some center stage. I'm going to take this opportunity to kind of break away, but not really so much so from Transformers, to get into GM, more specifically Chevy, and the lovely sneak peek they gave us of the official Transformers Bumblebee package Camaro. I've got to say, I've been looking at Camaro since obviously the 2006 prototype came out, and I've got to say, I'm having kind of some mixed feelings right now with the way that the package comes. I'm not sure. I believe it was a yellow orange pearl that the actual Bumblebee in the movie is a specific colorization. But they're offering this particular package with the traditional rally yellow, with a special high gloss pinstriping. That's supposed to be specific to that. I haven't seen any comparison shots with the standard Camaro rally stripe package. But there's a number of small things. I believe it's a markup of about $1,000. With that, you're going to be getting Autobot logos that are embroidered into your center console, as well as the driver's side and passenger side door panels. You're also going to have the Autobot logos, I believe. From what I can tell, I think those are just standard chrome emblems that are going to be going under the Camaro on the side, as well as I believe they said the door sills are also embroidered with the Autobot logos. And for a robot in disguise, there's an awful lot of giveaway markings on this particular model. Go ahead.
What about the steering wheel?
Did it have the steering wheel?
In the movie.
In the movie, it did.
I don't know.
In the movie, the 74 had that because it was that's an original, that's an old school rally style. I can't remember the name of the actual company that makes that, but yeah, that's one of the earlier Camaro aftermarket steering wheels, and that just actually had a standard Autobot emblem that was in it. That didn't in the movie, at least, from what I noticed, because I paid particularly close attention to the interior, did not carry over along with the Autobot logo, the Biatch air freshener, and the disco ball. I'm still kind of curious where those went when Bumblebee rescanned. Anybody have an idea?
Nope. Mm. I don't.
Yeah.
I honestly can't say I do.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that whole... Well, you knew it wasn't coming back for this movie over the fiasco they had after the first movie because of the unlicensed use of that particular air freshener. I don't know if you guys heard about that one. That was a pretty big deal from them. I'm one of the few people I know who actually owns a three-pack of the ones from the company itself. But overall, I mean, they're offering this on all trim packages of the Camaro. Some people know, some people don't, that the Revenge of the Fallen Bumblebee was actually the prototype Z28. It was actually recently announced, it was teased out by Chevrolet that they may be seeing an official, not prototype, well, obviously Bumblebee is the prototype, but an official production-style car at next year's Detroit Auto Show, which is, that they're already looking at the SS, which is about 426 horsepower. The Z28 is actually going to be even more. I believe they're already prorating it to 460 horsepower. So that's a pretty for any Transformers collector, that's going to be a major investment to their collection. Any thoughts, Mike?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm saying to myself, I'm a completist, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to wait till that becomes an old used car, and then I guess I can pick one up. It'll be loose out of. I'll get one loose out of the box. You know, articulation might need some work, but that's
custom
about it.
Faded.
Yeah, I'll pick one up at BotCon next year.
The door sills say Transformers on it. The hood scoop says Transformers on it, and the rims are the same rims, but they have Autobot logos on the center caps.
Wow.
Or I should say the lug caps.
I've actually got a little bit of a beef with Chevrolet on this because this is just
the
my
front
feeling.
Doesn't match. The front doesn't match.
Well, no, it's not so much. Well, I think they should have actually made a specific paint blend for this particular edition for $1,000. You're basically getting a lot of stuff that you could go over on the eBay Motors and pick up for your car.
Definitely
the cost.
Oh, the emblems and the stickers, yeah.
There's been aftermarket Transformer metal emblems and stuff for the cars long before Revenge of the Fallen movie even existed. I mean, I remember going to car shows back in college, and we're talking like 1999, where I saw like emblems of Autobot logos or Decepticon logos made in chrome diecast or whatever next to people's Hondas or even replacing their Honda logos. So this isn't too shocking for me, and for $1,000 more, that's a big matzo ball to be asking, you know?
Well, not to mention they're actually they don't tell you that, and this is something that I just noticed because I've actually personally been pricing one of these out recently. I actually went for a test drive and one over the weekend. is that those are the 19-inch rims. You actually have to pay $3,000 more to make sure you get those rims in order to get that particular package.
$3,000 for rims? You got to be kidding me.
I am not kidding you. That's with the rims and the tires. Comes out to about $3,200 to go to the 19-inch. Because standard, it comes with a very ugly, literally, I don't know why they did it. It's like a 17-inch rim, but it's these big, thick, fat spoke. They're just ugly on the car. They don't do anything for it. That's if you go with, like, the base V6 model, you know, bare bones, nothing but. But then, obviously, if you want the the Transformers package, you've got to actually shell out that extra dough to make sure you're getting the 19-inch rims.
Ay, ay, ay. It's expensive.
That's an option on the Transformers version?
No, it's not an option. That's actually – you wouldn't – let's put it like this. I'm sure they would – I'm sure that they could make you a custom one that had, you know, the crap rims that come with it. The standard V6 model with all the additional
stuff. Don't give you a choice.
You don't. Yeah, it's for the rims. It's either you have the 19-inch with the center caps, or you have the standard 17-inch Camaro cheap off the line cast rims, which look horrible on the vehicle. Check it out over at Chevy.com. They've got it right there when you go to price them out.
I'm actually looking at the picture from TFW with the Autobot logo sewn into the center console in leather. That looks really nice. It's kind of subtle.
That is subtle, and you know what? I think that's where a good majority of the value of this is coming from. But at the same time, who's to say that you couldn't take out your center console lid and bring it over to an embroidery place at any given mall?
Oh, clearly.
And do it for $5.
Oh, yeah. I just had a custom jersey made up for on the cheap for my buddy.
So, yeah, well, no, that's just it. Any of this stuff that you're paying $3,000 for is clearly could be done easily through eBay or anyone who has a local body shop with some guys who really know what they're doing, you know. It wouldn't even cost half the price. It would cost like, God, a quarter of the price.
And you know what the thing is, though, I'm sure that each one of these cars is going to come specifically numbered with, you know, obviously certificates of authenticity that this is in fact a Transformers edition Camaro, and that's where it's going to really be sticking it. So. I believe this model is going to be retaining its value long after other Camaros have actually gone down.
Oh, no doubt.
That'll be,
as,
you know,
Protoman, as Protoman said, I mean, you know, 5, 6, 7 years down the road when these things have 50, 60,000 miles on them, we're going to scoop them up.
Well, it's not only that. To be fair, GM cars, usually the year after they come out, they already tank. So, I mean, Jazz's little Solstice there, let's not even talk about that car's problems.
It's gone.
Yeah, that car has got problems. Like, it was voted Car and Driver's worst car mechanically to take care of. So, if you're looking to drive a car from the movie, hey, you want the Solstice? Yeah, what is it we're going for right now? $11,000? You can't give that car away.
Good luck if you can even find the GXP.
So yeah, what's your is that it got ripped in half just like Jazz did in the first movie.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
But it's kind of the same thing. I kind of see that this car, I guarantee 2-3 years down the line, it'll already be like cheap, cheap, cheap. And if you're a Transformer collector that's going through a midlife crisis when you hit 50, you want to drive Bumblebee, you could get them for like, I bet you, and this is not an over-exaggeration, I could see them going for $7,000 by then. Maybe even less.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, American cars have no after-sale market value. You will find a Honda Civic from 1992 to 1995 still going for $8,000. But if you find any GM car from 1995, yeah, $3,000, $2,000, if you're lucky. So,
not to go off topic, but speaking of Transformers cars, I'd take a super black edition of the Nissan GTR. The alternative.
There's a lot of other cars. Hey, how do you think I feel? How the hell am I going to get my hands on a Dome Zero, which is what Hot Rod was based off of? It was a prototype car. You know, like, exactly. So I got to hope for something else. But
One yourself.
Well, yeah. There's so many people who are like, if you take a Sebring and you mix it with a Firebird body, you might, you know, and then make a big spoiler. Oh yeah, I'm not. You know what? I'm obsessed, but. I have my limits. Or do I?
No, you don't.
When it comes to Hot Rod or Rod.
If someone had made that, though, and put it on eBay.
Oh, God. He
blank check.
Oh, with all the work done already. Then what?
I'll be back in about a month, guys. I got to go find some spare cars.
Yeah.
Seriously, leaving?
Huh? You know what? The idea has gone through my mind. But anyways, it has crossed my mind.
Actually, I know Shane, you wanted to go off on that little tangent. I actually forgot when we came back from break, we were talking about Revenge of the Fallen movie, not Comic-Con stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
I didn't pipe up. I didn't.
It's fine. I screw up like that all the time. Hell, I forget what the hell I did the last 2 hours.
It's all things Transformers.
Yes, so. Exactly. Just going back to the movie a little bit. You know, I've said and I will continue to say that I personally think that there is not going to be another blockbuster this year that can even remotely come close to the Revenge of the Fallen numbers. Now, I would go so far as to say that if this was Marvel's year for movies, like next year will be, Marvel could give it a run for its money. But I don't think that just from trailers and previews I've seen from almost everything else that's going to come out this year as far as quote-unquote blockbusters, nothing is going to beat this thing.
I could see maybe an Iron Man 2 giving it a run for its money, but I really don't see any of the other Marvel movies coming down the line doing the same.
I can't even see Iron Man 2 doing it. I mean, Iron Man 1 didn't do it.
You know what? Iron Man 1 did comfortably well. Maybe more people will show up for Iron Man 2. Again, Captain America is going to do well in America, but I can't imagine people in swarms showing up for it in Japan or any other country. Same thing, the G.I. Joe movie. I can't even finish that sentence.
We're not even going to go. We're just not even going to go there.
I can't even finish that sentence. But anyways, what I'm trying to get at is that I really, same thing, I can't really picture anything this year or next year really contending against this.
No.
And I didn't even expect it to do as well as I thought it would.
My only issue with, you know, you'd mentioned Iron Man 2. My only issue with that movie is they recast Rhodes.
Yeah, what the hell is that about? But anyways, let's not get off topic there.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not trying to get off the topic, but I mean, that is my only issue with that movie. And if the trailer doesn't, like, you know, blow me across my living room once I see it, I probably won't go to the movies and see it. But, yeah, anyways. Oh, crap. What was I going to say? I don't know. So, moving on, I guess we can hit up the mini masterpiece, Optimus Prime.
Oh!
Yeah, exactly. I think that actually deserves one of these. Somebody posted the link in the Skype window, and I looked at that, and I was like, oh my God. Even though it's a prototype picture, it looks so awesome.
The detail's incredible.
The detail is not just incredible, it's off the friggin' scale. It just is.
It's perfect.
He comes with an openable matrix. I don't think that has been done with any toy.
He's a direct scale down Masterpiece Prime.
That's awesome.
The arm panel that flips up is incredible, at least to me. The detail on that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it is, very much so.
Great for people like myself who missed out on the classics Prime the first time around too. Not to mention it's nice because if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, didn't they say that the original deluxe two pack Optimus and Megatron, that mold or rather they were considering using that to scale up to a Voyager before they went to the what we now know as the classics Prime.
Good thing.
No, see, They actually, the thing is, they both kind of came out at the same time. They both did. See,
yeah.
Because what you have is, the one that was used, which was called the Battle Begins 2-pack, which came out for, I believe it was Classics, that one, what they did was they remolded, I don't know if you remember Robot Masters, which was a Japanese line that came out during, I think it was 2001. Anyone?
Yep.
No?
No.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Well, Robot Masters had a Optimus Prime that I guess you could call was a downsized version of the Masterpiece toy, although a simplified version of that. When they made this figure that you're referring to in the Battle Begins 2-pack, they kind of blew up the Robot Masters version, gave it a little bit of a head remold, and then put that spinning punch gimmick, whatever thingy that's in that.
A terrible gimmick.
Yeah. Ow.
Dude, that
wasn't me.
Does the foot piece on this one that we're looking at, does that look different than some of the I don't have all the primes in front of me to examine, but it looks like
it
the
is
feet are...
it is exactly the same.
Oh, it's the same.
I can
okay.
tell you right now, I have about 7 masterpiece molds. That is the exact replica, only downscaled.
Okay. But that the foot piece
even
on
the tire, even the tire treads, I mean, it's unreal.
That foot piece, though, is unique to the masterpiece mold, right? That's not on any of the other
yes.
prime.
No.
That's what I thought.
There seems to be new things on it here and there.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had an arm panel flip up, have we?
No, that was in Masterpiece Prime as well.
That was in the Masterpiece Prime. There was one on each arm.
Oh, okay. What was that? Was that referencing to the cartoon anything?
Yes, there was one episode where he does contact Bumblebee.
Oh, that's right.
And even prior to the Masterpiece Prime doing that, they made a PVC figure of Act 4, I believe, of the PVC line from Japan, where Optimus Prime was talking to his comlink on his arm.
Oh, okay.
They also produced that in the U.S. under the
Heroes for the Heroes of Cybertron line.
You know what I think would be really cool if they did with this figure? Well, first of all, give him a trailer. Second of all, give him a ruler. Like a show-accurate roller?
Well, you know what? A G1 trailer would fit this guy because he's pretty much deluxe scale. It might be a little small, but I don't know.
Yeah,
someone will make
about
a trailer.
You know what?
Someone will make a trailer.
Is there a peg point visually on that?
I did.
If it's a direct copy of the original, I'm looking for an alt mode. Yes, there is. It's exactly the same. I mean, look at the feet. It's exactly the same. It's got the flip-up tab with the peg.
So then there's a possibility. Maybe it's pretty.
This is this looks like it was just directly downcast from that. It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to go right for the kill with adding the trailer.
It even has the button in the back of the head to light up the eye, to move the mouth, rather.
Oh, cool.
Now the question is, does
it
have those ugly teeth under it? For anyone that's actually removed the mouthpiece, there's a smiling face under it.
Yeah.
I actually don't think I've ever seen that.
I'll try to find you a picture.
Oh, God. Well, not to go back on my little car tirade, but the Transformers package is now available on the Chevy site.
Very cool. And that's Chevy.com or Chevrolet.com or whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure they own both.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. What else do we want to cover, guys? Because that's really all that I wrote down. I kept asking for suggestions, and nobody really said anything, or nobody really typed anything in the window. So what else do we want to cover on this? I guess you could call it a SDCC special.
Well, how about...
Did anyone cover Skywarp yet?
No.
Or Perceptor?
No.
The reissue Insecticons?
I think
we did that.
Just on that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Kevin.
I'm kind of curious have they said yet whether or not this new Perceptor is actually going to be able to be used as a microscope as well?
I'm pretty sure they kept that.
What was it, 10 times magnification the original had?
Something like that. It was a magnifying glass at best.
I'm sure that will be fine. You know, I think only the diehard collectors are really going to grab that one up, that and scalpers. That's my professional opinion on that one, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, they will show up, definitely. Like, people are going to probably pick it up, but it's going to be more of the hardcores. It's going to be all about Soundwave. Out of all the stuff that San Diego Comic-Con is offering, it's going to be that Matrix of Leadership box set and the Soundwave.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the Insecticons, Perceptor, and that shiny robot, Mighty Mugs, Optimus Prime, I think that those three are going to be kind of, overlooked by the casual people at Comic-Con.
And henceforth, there'll be 40,000 of them on HTS.
Yeah, those are going to be the ones that, I wouldn't go crazy bidding on eBay. Wait. But that Matrix of Leadership box set, yes. Yes, I think that even more than the Soundwave one, that's going to be the hot ticket.
Oh, yeah, right.
That,
so.
That,
do
that
you
more
ha-
than
do you have that, Proto? Do you have
I
that
own,
set?
I own that, and let me tell you something.
I do too.
I'm speechless. Like, seriously, it's without a doubt what we've all
the way you
wanted.
The way you
just,
open
yeah,
it is like
the,
opening
you know
the Matrix.
Just opening it. Just opening it is enough to like
it's
explain
incredible.
It. Like not even the fact that it holds DVDs. You know, it's like just open.
You open the Matrix to get them out. Yeah, it's awesome.
Although I will say, I know this is going to be blasphemy here, but the design on the G.I. Joe one is actually a touch better than the Matrix of Leadership set.
They have more stuff. I will give them that too. And
it's a little more sturdy. It's a little more sturdy of a box also.
Do you own that?
I have both of them.
How do you like the G.I. Joe one? Because I was thinking about that.
I actually haven't got to start watching them yet because I'm still on the Transformers.
Just packaging wise.
The packaging is amazing. It's so sturdy. It's got reinforced edges all the way around. It's got the lock. The way they have the DVDs in the little top shelf of it's awesome. All the extras, the dog tag, everything is awesome about it.
Cool.
Yeah, that's the thing I find amazing, that it even came with a little like USB dog tag. Okay. Like they
with comics loaded into them.
Yeah, with extras put on it. See, and again, I don't want to hate on the Matrix DVD box set. It's amazing. But it's kind of sad that the G.I. Joe one really, like, it really got a little more pizzazz to it.
Yeah. I mean, they're both awesome, but after, you know, when you get the Matrix of Leadership the one week and you're, like, amazed by it, then to get the G.I. Joe one the next week in the mail, I was like, holy cow, it's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I so want it. Oh, so want it.
That's why I'm being quiet right now. I'm foaming at the mouth.
Sorry.
Exactly.
It's okay.
And every Tooncast that Kevin brings it up, I always give him one of these.
You mug, son of a...
I get one of those all the time.
Yeah.
I was reading on that site, though. We were talking about the lithographs that's coming with the signed... by Frank Welker that's coming with the Matrix of Leadership sets at Comic-Con. It says it's only for the first 350 of them.
Oh, wow.
So,
those are probably already
those
gone.
Are gone.
See, here you go, the first 350 box sets. So imagine how many they're bringing.
Probably a good 1,000 there. Easy.
Yeah. They're bringing it all.
I wonder how many were produced total. Since we're only going to get the one shot,
I hope.
More. Well, you know, they don't want to release anymore because they want to pimp those individual box sets that are out in retail right now. You know.
Yeah, I just wonder how many total Matrix sets were
produced.
Is the
triple changer feature on the complete series, or is it just?
There's some stuff that I was told that is unique to the box set,
but everything on the season set is on the box set.
Okay, because. Yeah. Because I wasn't sure. See, that's the whole thing. You know, I know that this is still Transformers DVD, but just TV on DVD in general. You know, Kevin, you know about TV shows on TV.com.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I email and talk to the two guys that run that site, you know, every chance I get if I want to know something. And, you know, they basically said when they first broke the news about the complete series is that normally this is against prototype. And, of course, Shout Factory has never been one to do... You know, the prototype thing. Normally when you release TV stuff or TVs on DVD, it's season by season by season, and then they release the complete series. I think what's going to hurt everybody and going to make us double dip on the individual sets is that after the Matrix set's already out, they haven't released season 2, volume 1, or volume 2 yet. That's coming in September, I believe. There's probably going to be features on that aren't in the Matrix set.
You know what? I would welcome that, even though it would mean I'd have to buy more stuff. I would welcome it because I just want more content. Because I
don't think it will. I don't think it will though, because the way they've done the Matrix set. I mean, I think the season 2 and season that's all done. Like they have.
Oh yeah.
The way they have...
Design wise, yes. Because what is possessed inside the Matrix DVD box set is the individual sets.
Yes.
Themselves.
And they even say, like, season 1 special features, season 2 special features, season 3 special features, etc.
Okay, all right.
It's like a box in a box, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Right.
I so want that.
Everyone does.
But there is there's three specific DVDs full of special features.
Yes. Didn't you want to talk about the Skywarp, Gary?
I can.
Well, I mean, you know, tell me about. I mean, I don't know anything about it, and I'm not trying to open up any link.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Basically, he comes with his Decepticon logos on him and his stripes on his wings to be G1 accurate. As we know, we don't use stickers too much anymore. I don't know if he comes with a sticker sheet. I don't believe the Starscream did, the Walmart one. They were all tampoed logos on him.
Yeah,
looks to be the same with Skywarp. What I will say, the only thing that's changed on the U.S. version is the wingtips. The wingtips are not pointy.
Now, which...
Other than that, it's the exact same toy. I mean...
It even has the evil grin, so they actually did use the actual Skywarp mold. They didn't use the Starship.
Which line is this for, right, though?
Masterpiece.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's the same size as Starscream, obviously, Thundercracker, okay. You know. But it's the first domestic release besides Starscream that we've had, and it's Skywarp. So hopefully, you know, somewhere down the line or next year you get the – if you – miss out in the U.S. I got the Japanese versions myself. I did pick up the U.S. Starscream, having the Takara version or Takara Tomy version of the Masterpiece Skywarp, there's really not enough to warrant me to like this unless you really like the tampooed logos on your figures. I mean, they came with stickers. I chose not to apply them, so he looks like a black jet. You know, I just didn't apply my stickers to mine, and he's in robot mode, so it's really, you know, your personal preference there. But, I mean, he looks really good in the packaging. That's the one thing I will say as far as the U.S. releases of Masterpiece have always been window boxes where you can see the figure in its robot mode.
That's always been a Japanese thing, though. Almost 99.9% of Japanese product, when it's sold in stores, it never has windows, ever.
Right, right.
Anything, whether it be like the Armada stuff in Japan, you know, Energon, it's always in a box that's usually hiding it. Yeah.
That's
a recent year.
Have we hit all the topics that we said we were going to hit?
I think so.
All right. In honor,
I think
we've got like five or six topics. So in honor of that, I'm going to play this. Can anybody tell me who that was?
I heard Porky Pig at one point.
Yeah. It played the last part.
Are
of
you
the clip
serious?
Before.
All right, let's try this. Is that any better?
You have an echo on your playback.
I have no idea.
Yeah, that reverb's like crazy.
Shot from Rebirth. Yeah.
It was six of them.
Yeah, it definitely was six of them, that's for sure.
It's got to be this headset. This headset sucks. Well, shut up.
I'm agreeing.
So we're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to do the closing. We'll be right back.
You got the touch! I'm Stan Bush, and I dare you to listen to All Things Transformers with Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike.
All right, that was our All Things Transformers special San Diego Comic-Con talk with myself, TFG1 Mike, Optimus Scourge, the goddamn Proto Man, Optimus Solo, and the Big Bad Boombox. You can follow us on Twitter. Mine is TFG1 Podcast. And why don't you guys go one by one? Optimus Scourge, what's your Twitter?
Optimus _ Scourge at Twitter.
And Kevin, what's yours?
It is Boss K Dog, BossKDawg.
And Shane, what's yours?
Fireboy.
Fireboy.
No numbers, nothing. I got in early.
Yeah, you must have got really in early. And Proto Man, what's yours?
Proto Man X, send me a private message.
Actually, before we actually do the rest of the closing, I wanted to bring up something for Proto Man to talk about, the Rodimus TFA figure.
Yes. What would you like to know? How awesome it is, how much I love it, how much I'm, that I'm going to buy probably a case of six like I did with the Henkei.
I was going to say, what was your first initial impression when you first saw it? Did you, like, fall out of your...
Well, again, like, I guess for the two that don't know the story and the listeners who listen to this this version of the podcast, how I found out about this figure was this BotCon, I was stupid enough not to go. I was busy that entire week. There was a lot of other factors. I guess also the Pasadena trip, I said, because when I go to BotCon, I buy too much stuff.
Everything.
And to get back from Pasadena with all of that stuff would be pretty crazy. I mean, just the exclusives alone that I'd buy, and then like the $2,000 of merchandise I'd leave with also. I just thought, you know what, I could survive without going this year. I have friends going anyways, they'll pick me up the exclusives, at least I'll get those. And I did get those. But what happened was the Saturday of BotCon, around 8 p.m., I was sitting in my room, just tapping away on the computer. I wasn't looking at the news. I was working on other stuff. I was with my girlfriend. And I get a text message. I look at the text message, and it's from Derek Wyatt. And it's Derek Wyatt, and there's an attachment on the text message, and it's an image. And I open up the image, and it's a picture of Derek Wyatt in his hotel room holding animated Rodimus, with this kind of like coy face, and the caption under it said, "Jealous bitch." And at first I couldn't really make out what he was holding, but I was like, it looks like Hot Rod, what the hell? And then I went online, and Gog Dog, who's one of the guys on TFW, did a whole photo shoot of an animated Rodimus, and that's of course when I lost my cookies.
Oh boy.
You know, but between and that toy, like, seriously, first of all, to give you guys an idea of how tall it's going to be, because Derek White gave me a pretty detailed description, he's going to be about the same size as Animated Jazz in terms of height, so he's not going to be a short figure, and just the engineering and attention to detail that has been put into this toy is absolutely incredible. I mentioned this on another podcast that for years, we've always been kind of confused of where we put that engine block with Hot Rod when he transforms. With the original G1 toy, it went on the back of his head. With the Classics toy, they just left it on his chest. With other toys, they just don't put the engine at all. They just kind of ignore as if it's not even there. With this one, they did a clever gimmick of, like, it flipping over and making an Autobot logo to conceal it completely. It's a gorgeous-looking toy. And for the longest time, I revered, like, the Henkei Rodimus, which is the Japanese version of the Classics Rodimus, as the perfect Rodimus toy. But when this one comes out, oh, man, I don't even know. Like, this thing is absolutely gorgeous. It's incredible.
Go ahead.
I have nothing to say. I'm speechless.
Yeah, exactly. In between that and the RC figure that they're going to be doing, I want these toys now. I don't want to
Of course.
You know.
Hasbro would be foolish not to release these. And granted, the show is over. But you know what? People will buy these.
They should release them under the animated line. They should not release them under any other line other than...
Well, if they can, I could see it being in Universe. It's been done already where there has been some animated Legends toys in the Universe line already. Oh. So if need be, if it has to be Universe toy, make it so. I don't care. I just want this damn figure,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what it takes. If it has to be under the frickin' movie line, you know, Revenge of the Fallen animated Rodimus, I don't care, you know? Make it happen, you know, because this thing is incredible. Yes, the RC is amazing too. I will give you that. All the other ones that they had planned in the Raptors, I'm looking forward to those also. Those are great looking toys too. But that Rodimus, my goodness, man. Like,
that Rodimus has the... I think actually all of the animated figures have the most detail other than Blur, I've got Blur sitting right here because we talked about him in Toycast episode. On almost every other figure that I have from animated that is a car, I see, you know, door handles. Even on Rodimus, I mean, the door handle is very clearly visible.
There's a gas cap. There's little attentions to detail everywhere, and it's incredible. It is. And my biggest question is, again, which I always love about animated, is how you get from one mode to the next. I'm really curious what little twists and turns they're going to put this time around. Because, man, you look at his legs, where the hell did the kibble go? Yes. They do a great job of hiding that.
Yes.
You know?
Very much.
They do it. So I'm, it's a, yeah. But anyways, I guess we got to end the show. I'm not going to gush about this toy.
Well, in honor of your, I will play this. In the immortal words of Optimus Prime, I am TFG1 Mike, and this has been a special ATTF SDCC talk. And Optimus Prime always says,
Autobots, Autobots, transform, and roll out.
Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are locked into the TFG1 podcast. I'm Mike Captain Awesome Dodd, and if you aren't listening to this podcast, clearly you are a Decepticon douchebag.